Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still.
Amen. Over to 184.
Coming, brother, thronging up the steeps of light, clad in glorious shining garments, blood-washed garments pure and white. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you hear the stirring anthems filling all the earth and sky? 'Tis a grand victorious army, lift its banner up on high. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Never fear the clouds of sorrow, never fear the storms of sin. Shall triumph tomorrow, even now our joys begin. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. praises, for our victory is nigh. We shall join our conquering Savior, we shall reign with Him on high. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Brother Travis, go ahead and pray for us this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple things real quick before we break for Sunday school this morning. We got a lot of announcements here in the upcoming bulletin, so probably good that we go over them twice. We do have men's Bible study and prayer breakfast scheduled for May 8th at 9 a.m. here at the church. Spring cleaning and church work day Saturday, May 22nd. That's going to start at 10 a.m. We do have a revival with Dr. Peacock scheduled for May 24th through the 27th. The evening services will start at 7 p.m., and the morning services, Pastor will get with those at a later time. Sunday, May 30th, is our annual Memorial Day dinner and dinner on the grounds. That'll be after the morning service. And so make sure you bring something to share and a dessert and all that good stuff, and there will be no evening service on that day. And then Memorial Day kayak trip scheduled Monday, May 31st. If you have any questions, you can see me about that. Vacation Bible School is June 7th through the 11th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., 4 to 11 or 4 to 12 is the ages, and then youth camp in Indiana is July 5th through the 10th. A lot of stuff going on. Get a bulletin, know what's going on, and be a part of it. Amen. Let's break for Sunday school.
Okay. Isn't it wonderful to be in church? Man, I woke up, I was up at 3 o'clock this morning asking the Lord to kill me and do all kinds of stuff. Because it's just, when you start really trying to figure out what you're going to do for church, you'd think it would be easy, and it's not. But the Bible's only so big. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 13. Hopefully, I had a real good conversation last night with a preacher. He called me. Never met him before. I never knew who he was. He called me, asked me about Brother Lohman. And we were sitting here talking. I said, well, I think he needs more support. And I was trying to, he kept asking me about him, and he met him down at the blowout. And he said he was supposed to come to our church, but he didn't come. I thought he was going to chastise him on the phone to me, but he didn't. He understood that he got sick and he couldn't come. He said, what do you know about the young man? I said, well, he's a good guy. He's been here for quite a while. And I said, he's been on the field. He's already been there one time, one term. He came back to get some support. I said, and he's going back. I said, as a matter of fact, he's going back under-supported. I said, I think he should stay longer and get more money. Unless all y'all want to give him more money, that would be fine too. And then we kept talking. He said, well, he's supposed to come in, but he got sick. And I understand that. He goes, so I got a $200 check for him, and I'm going to mail that to him. I said, yeah, that'd be a good thing. I said, could you mail me one too? and then we started talking, and it sounds like he's going to pick him up for support. But I mean, the next thing I know, we're preaching at each other on the phone for probably a half an hour, 45 minutes past the conversation about Brother Lohman. So I was on there a good hour, maybe. I had to finally say, look, brother, maybe I got to get off. I got to get ready. I never did get my message done last night, and hopefully it'll turn out pretty good this morning. If not, it'll be a flop, and that'll be okay. We're in Genesis chapter 13. We're talking about Abraham. What I was going to say, the blessing was, he goes, man, he goes, tomorrow, he goes, I'm finishing my Sunday school lesson too. And he goes, I'm doing Genesis. I'm like, oh. He goes, I've been on it for 2.5 years. I said, praise God, brother, you make me feel better. I said, I've been doing it for a year and a half, and just now I got to 13. So I don't feel too bad. It made me feel good. I still got another year, man, before we even got a problem with this thing. But he's the same way I was. He goes, you want a nugget? I said, yeah. He goes, what's your horse's name? I said, horse's name? I said, I don't have a horse with a name. He goes, well, you should. I said, why? And he's talking about over in Revelation chapter 19 where we come back on white horses. And I got that. He said, well, you ought to name your horse. He said, it's already your horse. You ought to name it. I said, well, I got a guy in the church. He said he's already got his stall name. He said it's Mike Stall. And Come on, man. He knows right where his horse is going to be. He told me that. I didn't tell that. That's what he said. He already knows where his horse is. He's just going to go up and down the hallway until he finds Mike Stahl. My question to him is, how do you know it's not my horse instead of yours? Because it could be mine. Mike 1 and Mike 2. It's like thing 1, thing 2. Anyways, Genesis chapter 13. Good morning, everybody. Father, thank you for your many blessings this morning. And thank you for everybody that came out. Lord, I just pray that you'd give us something out of your word. It is such a blessed book, Lord, that just keeps us going day after day and year after year, Lord. This thing will keep us going until the rest of our lives are over. Lord, it's an inexhaustible book. You can't get to the end of it, Lord. There's just no way. The book contains way too much information for one lifetime, Lord. You'd almost need an eternity to get it. But I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the nuggets that you give it all the way through. And Father, we'll praise you and honor you. Bless the Sunday school class this morning. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you turn that down somewhere? Is it this, that? What is that? Okay, good, because it's kind of loud. It scares me. I'm such a quiet kind of guy. I am. Y'all laugh about that. My wife laughs about that. 13:14. It says, And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Again, Abram's he's got the right attitude, and you'll see people and all through your Bible. The Lord shows you that. It's a choice. Each one of us has a choice. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were sitting there talking. I said, it's a choice. You can't ever blame anybody else for any of your choices. They're your choices. What happened in the past happened in the past. There's nothing I can do about that. I can't blame anybody. I'm 64 years. I'll be 64 this year. I can't blame anybody in my past for anything that I'm in. Maybe they had some influence in what I did, but that's not their fault. That's mine. I chose to do those things. So my choice is moving forward, and your choice is too. Abraham had a choice. He had a choice to do what God said do or get upset and do what he wanted to do. And he backed away, and he said, I'm going to let Lot have what he wants, and I'm going to build me an altar. And you can do that exact same thing. You can build an altar anywhere you want to do it. What a blessing is that the Lord does what he does for us. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're out in the middle of the ocean or you're down in Florida, you're in California, or you're on the other side of the planet. The Lord's always there. He's always been there. He said unto Abram, he said, after that Lot was separated from him. You know, sometimes God shuts down when you're with the wrong people. And he wants you where he wants you because you have to get with the right people. Getting with the wrong people is the wrong thing. It always ends up wrong. It happens all over the planet. It does happen. And when somebody gets into that position, you say, well, what do? Well, you just got to pray a lot and just say, okay, Lord, get me out of it. But the key is don't ever get into it. Learn the lesson. I remember in 1980, I was in a mess, and I realized, I said, my family's a mess. Everything's a mess. Everything's a mess. And I was only 22 years old at the time. I said, everything's a mess. I blew my whole life. It's shot. I'll never be in use for anything from God. And I remember sitting on that back porch. And I made a thing. I said, I'm done. I'm going to stop it right here. It's going to stop. My whole family was all messed up. My mom's family's messed up. My dad's family's all messed up. When I say messed up, I mean messed up. And bars, I mean, the bartenders, all that stuff. It was just a strange family that I lived in. Almost like the families everybody has today. It's not a whole lot different. But when you sit there and look at it, I could have continued on. And the more I read my little Bible, the more I realize is this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a different way. And I don't really know what that way is completely yet. But I know what that way is, and according to the Bible, and it's God's way. And I knew that if I was ever going to get that way, I was going to have to either trust him or trust somebody else. And I've already tried trusting other people, and it didn't work too well. So I said, I'm going to just trust the Lord. I'm going to give the Lord a chance. And I did that for about 6 months, and I've been doing it ever since the best I can. Am I the best in the world? No, but I do have a definite path that I'm going down. I have a desire to go down this path. When I get off of it, I know I'm off, and I can get back on, and I can head right down this road. And that's all you can do. So you got to somewhere in life say, okay, hey, Abraham right now is probably 75 years old. And the Lord is just now telling him where to go. What's the hurry, guys? Everybody's in a hurry to do something. Why? You got plenty of time. You know what you need to do is learn who you are.
Amen.
Learn what you can do and what you can't do. Sometimes we'll look at other people and we'll think, well, they're doing it, so I should be able to do this. Well, maybe you can't. I mean, you got to stop sometimes and say, I can do certain things. And I like Dr. Roman. Dr. Roman was a great man. He always said the same thing. He goes, I know what I can do, and I know what I can't do. He said, I can do four things really, really well. He said, I can preach, and I can teach, and I can draw, and I can garden. He goes, anything outside of that, I get somebody else to do it. He goes, if I have a car problem, he goes, I know right where the problem is. He opens the hood and says, it's in there. And he goes, I'll find somebody who can dive into that thing and fix it. He said, I understand how combustible engines work. He goes, but that's not my forte. He goes, I know what I can do, and I know what I can't do. And I focus in on what I can do, and I don't worry about the rest of that stuff. It's amazing when people, if you never get people stopping to do what they can do and let the Lord do the rest, what you could actually accomplish in this lifetime. The devil wants to scatter us all over the place and get us going 100,000 different directions at one time. You never get nothing done. You got to focus down. I'm going through a crisis in my life right now, I told Beth, because I feel like I'm just sitting here like this. But my whole life has been like, yeah! Now all of a sudden it's like this. And I'm like, what is there to do? I'm sitting there going this and this. I don't even know how to twiddle thumbs. People say you just sit around twiddling your thumb. I have to actually practice to do that. I don't know how to do that. And you're talking about a strange feeling. We can't, Brother Barry asked me, he said, you're hearing more about the building. And I said, yeah, I got a meeting on the 17th. I'm like this. I mean, why could they just have it like tomorrow or last week? Why are they making me wait till the 17th of May? You say, well, that's normal. Yeah, but to me, it's not. But you got to sometimes slow down. And the Lord says, slow down. Just slow way, way down and just take it like it goes. That's what Abraham was. A Lot was in a hurry to get something that he shouldn't have got to start with. And he never prayed about what he got. And the thing ended up where he lost his entire family. Me and that preacher was talking last night, and he said the exact same thing. He said, Lot, when he went to Abraham was talking, and Abraham had, it said that Lot had two daughters with him and sons-in-laws. That means at least two, plural. So there was two daughters, him and his wife, his two daughters, other daughters, and two sons-in-laws. That's eight. Abraham stopped at 10. He said, if there's 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it for 10? And he goes, you would think that after the many years he was down there, there would be at least 10 in that city. There wasn't. And God destroyed the whole place and killed everybody because there wasn't. Lot's mindset was not on what it should have been. And he started getting into a path that he couldn't get out of. And it messed him up. Excuse me. This is the second time the Lord spoken to Abraham since he left Ur of the Chaldees. I mentioned this last week. 12:1, they said, and the Lord had said. That means prior to that, he told him what to do. In 12:7, he said, the Lord appeared unto him. And then here it says in 13:14, it says, and the Lord said unto Abraham after that Lot was separated from him. He said, I got a plan for you, Abraham. Abram, I got a plan for you, and I want you to do some stuff. So go to Psalm 105. Verse 15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Psalm 105. I'm telling you, brethren, sometimes you just don't have to, you don't have to fight about anything. Believe me, if the Lord wants you to have something, you'll have it. Nobody can stop you from getting it. Nobody can keep it from you. They can't take it from you once you get it. They're in trouble. If the Lord gives it to you and they try to take it away, they're going to have to deal with him. 105 verse 8. Go back to verse 6. Man, go back to verse 5. You could almost go back to verse 1. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. You ought to start your morning by giving thanks to God. That's a really good way to start that thing off. You wonder why Abraham had an altar everywhere he went. He's always looking for a reason to give thanks to God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know, if you started doing that stuff, you wonder why David is the way he is. I mean, he's unbelievable. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, for his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few. And by the way, 1948, they went right back into that land. So when God says something, you can pretty much bet it's going to happen. And that's like he gave us the everlasting life. You can bet that you got eternal life. You don't have to doubt that thing. There's so many people, we doubt things that God says. I like it. Brother Barry was talking just a second out there. He was mentioning some stuff about the Word of God. And it's a blessing to me that we have in our hands the book. If you think that the Bible is the Word of God, if you think a King James Bible, let's say if you believe, and you really honestly in your heart, you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, that's a gift from God. Because there's people on this planet who don't believe that. They don't have a clue. They think if it says right here on the back, it says Holy Bible. Just because some printer put on, right there. Holy Bible. Just because it says Holy Bible, and mine says church on the bottom. It says church and Holy Bible, otherwise King James in the same place. When you sit there and look at it, oh, that must be a Bible. No, they don't even know. They haven't been exposed to that. And you can't go up and start yelling and screaming at them, but you got to talk to them. And you go through this thing and start dealing with them, and you'll find out after a while that most of them, they don't know. They have a good heart. They just want to serve God. I remember that preacher talking about when he got saved. He said the guy had a Good News for Modern Man under his arm. He said, what do you do with that? And he said, he'd pray all night. Well, I know guys who've got a King James Bible who don't blow the dust off of it. So if you believe that thing, God showed you something. You got a blessing from God. Abraham got a blessing. He was always looking for a blessing. And here in Psalms, it's talking about God giving that thing to him forever and ever and ever and ever. And the world can say whatever they want. 1948, they went back into the land. 1949, they became a nation. They've been pretty much over there ever since. They're a nuclear power now, which makes them, something to be contended with. I think if they got into another war, they're going to whoop up on some people. But in the tribulation, some things are going to happen, and the Lord's going to go back and start dealing with them guys on some stuff. And he's going to get them back where they need to be. And, brethren, that's what he does with us. You know why we go through what we go through in life? We go through that so the Lord can straighten us out. Straighten the kinks out of us and get us straight again. Sometimes we just mess up. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but the world just messes up. And everybody around us messes up. And peer pressure is terrible. I tell you what, I don't think I'd ever want to be a kid today, a young person again. Sometimes I think, well, if I could just be a young person again, I could change some things. I probably would make it worse than it was before coming up through there. There's just no way. There's no way you can guide and direct your steps. I think Abraham sees that here. He knows it. He turns the thing over to the Lord, and he says, okay, Lot, you choose. If somebody ever gives you the choice, the best thing you do is say, no, you choose. And then they'll say, no, you choose. And then they'll say, well, let's cast lots. That's where you go. Let's cast lots. Lots, that's a strange word to use there. They use that in the New Testament when they found the new apostle. They cast lots. And the shorter one, I guess, got it, or the longer one got it. But you never heard much about Matthias. Casting lots, man. What a thing is casting lots. But that's the way you do it. You cast lots and let the Lord choose. He said the lot is in his disposal. He'll dispose of it. He'll make the right thing come out. And all you have to do is wait, man. The Lord probably showed both of them and said, why don't y'all just get along and we won't have a problem. But Abraham goes on back to Genesis. Abraham lets Lot go away. It's not a bad thing. It's not an upsetting thing. He just lets him go. That's what he wants to do, and Lot, do your thing. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So you can't really make anybody do what you want them to do. They have to see it. And our problem is with Christians is we want to force everybody to be like us, and you just can't do it. That's why you have to have a testimony. Me and that brother was talking last night, and he was a Marine, which I felt sorry for him. I really did. I listened to him. I said, "Brother, I'm really sorry." But he was a smart Marine. He only stayed in for 4 years. He knew when to get out. He understood that, hey, after 4 years, this is enough. But he knew that he was what do they call it, recon? Yeah, so he said, look, my life wasn't, my life was always online. And he goes, and I knew I was going to go out there and always be gone and do this and do that. And he goes, I just couldn't do it. And then he said, I met this girl, and my whole life changed, and I realized I wanted to be married, and this didn't go with what I wanted. He goes, but I wanted a girl who loved Jesus. And he goes, and I'm just a wacko crazy nut. And so I met this girl, and he told me how he met her. Pretty soon he tells your whole life story. I'm like, I just met you. I said, how in the world do we know so much about each other all of a sudden? And he said he pulled in this town, and he looked in this Waffle House looking thing, and this girl was waiting tables in there, and she was there. She was sitting there, and he goes, I want to marry a girl like that right there. And he goes, that's the one that he met at church. And she goes, she was a Jesus freak. And he goes, that just made my hair stand up on the back of my head when she said she's a Jesus freak. And I said, that's exactly what I, he goes, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. And it's just amazing. You never know when you get an opportunity to talk to somebody. I'm going to throw this one in. Thursday night we had a class in here, and halfway through the class, my phone went off, and y'all know how I am. I could answer the phone or not. Well, I looked at it, it said Gary Koch, and I didn't know who Gary Koch was, so I didn't answer it. So I waited till after the class, and about 9:30 I called, and this older lady picked it up, and she's a school teacher. Her and her husband is a school teacher, and he had passed away. And I said, ma'am, I got a call from this number. And she goes, you did? I said, yeah. She goes, well, I might have accidentally dialed your number. You could have. I said, that's okay if you didn't. I said, this is Anchor Baptist Church, Mike at Anchor Baptist Church. She goes, well, yeah, I wouldn't have called Anchor Baptist Church. So, and she goes, I don't think I would have called you, so I don't know how that happened. It must have been an accident. I said, yeah, some people can steal your number, and pretty soon they scam everything using your number. She goes, well, that could have happened. She goes, but I've been dialing people all day. She goes, today was my husband passed away, and today was the memorial service, and it's just been one of those sad days. And we talked for a few minutes, and I was getting ready to hang up. I said, well, let me ask you a question, ma'am. She goes, yeah. I said, I got you on the phone. I said, do you go to church anywhere? And she goes, you could hear her go, huh? Like, she goes, well, yes, I do. She goes, I'm a Presbyterian and Methodist by nature, but I'm going to a Lutheran church because they're such nice people. And next thing I know, we're talking for a half hour, 45 minutes. And she's just sitting there all by herself. And she goes, yeah, me and my husband were school teachers. I'm like, oh, man, that's not good. I said, that's Democrat. If you're Democrat, don't get upset. I'm just thinking because all the school teachers I know are staunch Democrats, and they don't really like anything to do with Jesus Christ or God. But this lady seemed to, and we talked, and she goes, yeah, we retired to Dayton. I'm like, you did what? You retired after all the time in the school system, wherever you were, and you moved to Dayton to retire? I said, she goes, yeah, everybody says that exact same thing. I'm like, yeah, they should. I said, that's insane. And Beth is sitting there looking at me like, who are you talking to? Like, it's an old friend. And you know what that is? That's a person who loves the Lord. I could hear it in her voice, and she said, my husband's okay. He's in heaven. I know where he's at. She goes, I'm okay. And I'm like, okay. And she's way out in the boonies somewhere here, so we'll probably never see her at church. But I told her, I said, hey, you got my phone number. If you ever need anybody to talk to, pick up the phone and call me. If I see Gary Koch, I'll give you a call back. and we just sitting there laughing. She goes, I can't believe we've been on this phone for this long and we never even knew each other. And now we know. I know all about your grandkids. You know all about my grandkids. You all know about my kids. I said, you know everything about me. I know everything about you. And we never met. You know, it's amazing people. You can meet people. I remember Mike Honstein. He said he used to go through the phone book. And he'd open the phone book and just go down through the names and call people and talk to them on the phone. And I'm like, people say, well, I can't find a way to witness. If you really want a way to find a way, you'll find a way. There's a billion ways to do it. God will put people in your path. You can put people in your path. You can do whatever you want. But what you got to do is you got to let the Lord have his way. And you, when he says separate from some people, there's some people that you just need to separate from. There's just nothing you can do. And he says, he told them, he said, separate from them. He goes, for the Lord, for all the land, and he said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And he said, I'll give it to you forever. So Abraham's standing up on the mountainside there, if you could just imagine, and he says, look south, look east, look west, look north. And everywhere he looked, even where Lot was, he just was given that. He got it all. He got everything. Lot didn't get anything. What Lot did is he lost everything he had. The end of not serving Christ is losing everything you have. I don't know why anybody wouldn't do it. It's such a good deal to me. I mean, I like good deals. If you know anything about me, I love good deals. I will drive 100 miles for a good deal, and I'll waste more gas going there than I get on the good deal. But the good deal is such a good deal. It's stinking bid site, man. Y'all stay off that bid site. That thing is wicked. I'm telling you, it's a wicked place. There's some place out in Chillicothe, Washington Courthouse, maybe a little bit south of Washington Courthouse, and I bid on some, this doesn't matter to y'all, but I'm just telling you, you got to watch the flesh. Some of those Quaker oat little cookie things, man, and it's only like $4, but it's like four boxes of them. And Beth is looking at me. I bought a laptop. I said, if I got to go out there and get these stupid oat things, I said, I'm going to buy something worth having. So I got me a new laptop, which is a really good deal on the laptop. But now I got to go out there and pick it up. It's good deals, man. Good deals are dangerous. And the Lord gives you a good deal, which is salvation. And it's free. It don't cost you a thing. And for anybody to say, I don't want Jesus Christ, that makes no sense to me at all. He never asked for anything from me. He never asked, like Abraham, he never asked for anything from Abraham. He said, I'm going to give you this. He said, Abraham, he said, I want you to come out from among your people. You got to be separate because you got to start seeing some things. Sometimes you can't see, or we can't see what we need to see when there's others around that's hindering that. You got to come away from that stuff sometimes. If you notice, the Lord always went to a mountainside and prayed by himself. He had to get away from the apostles even. Not that they were bad, but he had to get away sometimes so he could get his thoughts together as a man. And Jesus Christ was all man, he's all God. So he still had to get away from that. He did, like Moses and Elijah, he did go 40 days and 40 nights with no food. So that shows you the God side that was in him. But still, there's a point out there sometimes where you need to come away and you need to make sure God's in what you're doing. I mean, you need to know God is in what you're doing. Because it does matter down the road somewhere. That preacher I was talking to last night, he's been married for 41 years. Me and Beth have been married for 31. It's been like that for me. Like it was yesterday. I mean, just poop, it's gone. And I knew that that's the one the Lord wanted me to have. And I didn't have to question Beth's salvation. I didn't have to question her life or her anything. She had a walk with Jesus Christ that she had by herself. And as long as you start right there, you're probably much on pretty good standing ground. Anything else, if you're not, it could go two different ways, and there's always a danger there. And Abraham had a walk with God. Lot just didn't have that. Verse 16 says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Now, that's a promise. He's looking at Abraham. He says, Abraham, you don't even have a kid yet, not by Sarah, and she's barren, and you're 75, and she's a little bit younger than you. By the time he's 100 and she's 90, he's going to have a baby by Sarah. And you think, 90 years old? Don't ever think you're done. That Lord can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, at any given time. I like that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is when he's talking to Sarah, and we'll get to that in a little bit, a couple other chapters. But he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? If you ever get to the point in your life where you realize there's nothing too hard for the Lord, anything you ask him is fair game. And he says, come boldly under the throne of grace. And you know what the Lord's looking for? He's looking for somebody who will come boldly to the throne of grace. And even if you ask something that may end up being stupid, he has the Holy Spirit that will convert that thing over to what it should be. And the question will get to the Lord. This is really what he meant to say. This Lord, I said, Mike is down there and he thinks this, but this is what he, and really the fallback to that whole thing is to say, Lord, look, you do whatever you think seemeth good to you in your eyes. If you can get to that place right there where you say, Lord, this is a really serious decision, and it could really affect me down the road. And I know, though, and I've done this a bunch of times. If you're going to go get a Pepsi at the store, you don't have to stop. Oh, God, should I stop and get a Pepsi or a Coke? It doesn't matter. But if it is a life-threatening decision, then you need to stop and say, Lord. And when you get ready to start praying, you need to say, wait a second. Lord, maybe I should just defer to you and you do what you seemeth good. And then you give me what you think I need in this case. I've watched him do that thing a bunch of times, and it always works out great. I just like the way it works out. He says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man could number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Take your Bibles. Go to a couple of verses here. 15:18. Go to 15:18. We'll start there, and then we'll move through a couple other verses. You want a promise from God. That's something he told a man a long, long time ago, 1913 B.C. 15:18. He says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. They're all going to move. They're going to be kicked out of their land. They're in the wrong place. They shouldn't be there. They didn't know that, but they're going to have to get up and go. This place is not for them. It's for somebody else, and the Lord has already got that thing for them. So he tells them what he's going to give them. Go to Isaiah 66:22. All through your Bible, Lord, there's churches out there that says, well, God's done with Israel. Well, I'm sorry, he's not. There's coming a day shortly he's going to start messing with them again. And when he does, we're out of here. And what a blessing that will be. And we get to watch that thing from heaven. 66:22, Isaiah 66:22, it says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remaineth. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon until another, that's the seed of Abraham. He said that seed is going to last. It's going to go on. 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 Back in 19, if you go back to 19, he sits there and says, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escaped of them unto the nations to Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud, to draw the bow, to Tubal, to Javan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither had seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. That's the Jews. He's talking about the Jews there. I got a nugget the other night in that class in there. And I never really thought about it because we was talking about the... Schofield has the two resurrections. And I mentioned seven resurrections. Dr. Robin has a book on the seven resurrections. So I was teaching that. And I never caught it before. But me and that preacher was talking last night. And he goes, it's amazing how many times you read your Bible through. He goes, you know, I just started reading my Bible through twice a year now. I'm like, oh, you have? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, that's a good thing. And like you're trying to put me under conviction. I'm already doing it. I've been doing it for the last 7 years. And everything he said, I could ditto. I said, ditto, gotcha, man. He goes, you read it, and you read it one way one time, and the next time it's a little deeper. And the next time it gets a little deeper. And the next time it gets a little deeper. Well, I was sitting there going through the study on the seven resurrections. Got over to Moses and Elijah in the New Testament, or in the book of Revelations, where they die. They're in the streets 3 days and three nights and three days and a half, and then they rise up. And when they come up, they first of all, they get resurrected. That's one of the resurrections. Then there's a picture of the rapture where they go out. But he started it, and as I was listening to reading docs, I said, man, I never caught that before. They come in at the beginning of the tribulation, the great tribulation lasts 3.5 years. So those two guys are the ones, and it looks like those are the two guys that lead the 144,000 to the Lord. And the 144,000 goes out and does everything else. And I'm sitting there going, that's a real good possibility, man. I said, I never caught that before. I said, because they were there at the beginning. And if Elijah and Moses pops up, they're going to have a strong influence on the nation of Israel at that point. And 144,000, there's 144,000 young men that are still virgin. It can still happen. People say, oh, it can't happen today. Oh, yes, it can, man. In a mess like that is going on. There's 144,000 of them guys come out, and they get a hold of God, and they go out, and then it says the multitudes after that. You know what's wrong with most of us? We're not like those 144,000. Not that we're virgin. Forget that virgin part. But that we're our hearts. God looks upon the hearts. He always looks at the heart. He's looking at that thing. But I thought that was a nice little nugget to have. God never finishes. He never finishes. When he's done, he's done. But if he says, I'm going to bless that thing to out there somewhere in La La Land, you can bet in La La Land it's going to. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah, a couple books over. Jeremiah 33. I'm really liking going through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel now. It's actually starting to make sense. I haven't figured any of it out yet, but it makes sense. At least I can read through it and think I actually understood something. I used to read through Ezekiel going, what is that? I've heard preachers say that exact same thing. Jeremiah 33:26. It's talking about Abram. He says, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob. Oh, yeah, go back. Verse 23. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus have they despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with the day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and the earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be the ruler over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return. Well, the Lord's sitting there talking. He goes, look, he says, if the sun and the moon go away, he said, they ain't ever going away, because I done told you it's going to be there till the end. He goes, if that ever stops and everything else stops, he goes, then my covenant with Abraham and Isaac will stop. It ain't going to stop. The Lord's done said that thing's going to happen. It's going to go on. It's going to go on. It's going on. And I'm going to do what I want. You know what we have? We have a God that's seen, that knows the beginning from the end. I saw somebody the other day. I said, everything is like this to the Lord. If I was God, this would be the universe, and he's outside that thing. He can walk over here and look at it this way. He can walk over here and look at it this way. He can go up here and look down like this. He can look through it this way. He can look through it that way. To him, everything's already happened. Your life has already happened. That sounds almost Calvinistic. It's not Calvinistic. If he's right and he's omniscient, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do. He says that to Abraham. He says, do we not know what Abraham's going to do? How he's going to raise his children? He knows exactly what's going to happen. And yet he lets us do that. And you're talking about love? Well, you couldn't find somebody to love you like that in a million years. No, he knew what I was going to do after I got saved. And he still loves me. I'm like, that's unbelievable, man. It's insane. That's just totally, to me, I can't believe anybody would actually care like that. Well, I want to go see him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. I want to go. I don't know about you. Them guys in the New Testament, they got to see him in the flesh. And I'll get to see him in the flesh, but it'll be a new body. It'll be a new spirit, new body. And I'll have one too. When I get there the next time me and him meet, it's going to be face to face. It's going to be a totally different thing. Amos. Go to Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Doop-a-doop-a-doo. I like a Bible that tells you exactly what's going on. No matter what you do, chapter 9. Amos 9, 9:15. He's talking here again. He goes, maybe I should go back. Back 13. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. That's millennial. And the treaders of grapes, him that soweth the seed. There's going to be so much food, you're not going to be able to eat it all. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills, oh, that means we can drink right there, right? No, that doesn't. And all the hills shall melt, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink of the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat of the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon the land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. It's going to happen. Well, they're there right now. And the devil thinks he can get them, and the world thinks they can get them, and the Arabs all think they can get them, and it's just not going to happen. What we're seeing right in front of our eyes is the setup. There is a setup happening right now, and brethren, you better get ready to get out of here. I mean, I'm not trying to stop anybody, but I was listening to Dr. Estep, one of his old tapes, and in 1980, he goes, if you have any vision. Now, Dr. Estep's a smart man, so he's a school teacher, all that stuff, and he chunked all that, and I don't know whether, did he retire as a school teacher? He never did? Okay, so in 1980, he goes, if you have any vision for your earthly career and life, he goes, you're wasting your time. This was 1980. So he was ready. He was always ready to get out of here. And he passed through the grave. He didn't get a chance to get raptured. But that was 31 years ago. And he didn't get to go. But 31 years ago, he was ready to go. And here I am. I still got some time left. And I'm 31 years past that. And I'm thinking it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. It's coming. It's in our lifetime. And it's going to go back to, it's going to shift back to the Jews. You don't want to be here when that happens. I'm telling you, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved. You need to, this thing, and me and that preacher was talking about, it's amazing what you can talk about in about an hour, hour and a half. Is salvation is something that is a personal thing. It's yours. And you should know what you did when you did it. I know what I did when I did it. And nobody can talk me out of it. It's mine. It's mine. If I could give it to somebody else, I'd give it to them in a heartbeat because I know exactly how to get it back. Unless, wouldn't it be crazy if you gave it away? If you could give it away, which you can't. If you gave it away and then you go, okay, Lord, I'm it. No, sorry, it's only one person. You can't have it back. You gave it away. You lost it forever. But you can't give it away. But you know what you do? You can tell somebody. You tell them with a smile on your face. Yeah. Why not tell them with a smile on your face? Why try to beat anybody? The movement today is make everybody like me. Sorry, brethren, they're just not like us. And I'm not like you, and you're not like me. And most of you guys, well, all of you, except maybe my wife, it's a voluntary thing you come to church. It's a nice thing that you come. I can't make you come to church. I'm not going to call you every 5 minutes and say, are you coming to church? If you don't, God's going to come in. In our Catholic church, if you miss Mass, I've never figured this out. I don't know why anybody would want to be Catholic. If you miss Mass, that's a mortal sin, and you're going to go to hell. I guess unless you go to next week, go to confession and get it under the blood, get it under the priest's blood or whatever, you get it under there, confession. You confess your sins and your faults one to another to the priest, and then you take communion, and then you're out of hell again. I'm like, wait a second, how does that work? In and out, in and out, in and out. You talk to most Catholics, they want to go to purgatory. Why would you want to go to purgatory? I can go right to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why would I want that? It's crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy and stuff. So Jeremiah, Amos, 2 Samuel. Let's look at 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 7. The Bible's a crazy book. And he gave Abraham a promise. And that promise includes us. And we're right in the middle of that thing. We get out of here just before that happens back to him. And thank God for Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you what, he got me out of a mess, and he let me in for free. It was such a good deal. 7:10, 2 Samuel 7:10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will place them, and they may dwell, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the people. So the children of the wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. That's a millennial. That still hasn't happened. That's another 1,000 years out there. Jason Hines, the other day when he mentioned that in his prayer letter, where, you know, if the rapture happens in 3 years, I don't know why he chose 3 years, but if the rapture happens in 3 years, within 10 years, we're going to be back on the planet in the millennium serving with Jesus Christ. Brethren, I mean, that's how close. If the rapture happened right now, in 7 years, we're going to be standing on this planet again with Jesus Christ, and he's going to be in charge over in Jerusalem. And David is, we was going through the resurrections the other night. Have you ever thought about that stuff? Jesus comes up out of the grave after 3 days. He's been dead for 3 days. So now the whole news media or the TV systems and all this other stuff, walking with the dead walking, the dead's coming back, the dead and the dead are walking together, and all this, the first dead, the last dead, the middle dead, all the dead, 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 dead. The walking dead, what is that anyways? Anybody, I've never watched, don't even raise your hand if you're watching. But I'm sitting there, we're being desensitized that stuff is going to happen. And again, Jesus pops up out of the ground after being dead for 4 days, 3 days and 3 nights, and walks around this planet. Then other people come up out of the graves at the same time he comes up, and they're walking around probably for 40 days with him. So you got all kinds of dead people walking around, and he flies up in the sky. Pretty soon the rapture is going to happen, And there's a real good indication possibility that for like 30 or 40 days, 40 days when the Lord comes back, I guess in that case, the Lord would have to remain in the clouds for 40 days. But there's a possibility, if it happens the same way it happened back here, that there's going to be some dead people walking around this planet for 30 or 40 days before we get out of here. And then we go up with them all at one time. And you're going to see people dead that you never even, that have been, could have been dead for 150 years, going to be walking on this planet. Some of them, 2,000 years. You're going to see them walking. Peter, James, and John, they may be walking. It's hard telling. It's going to be one of those things. I wouldn't put it past him. And what we do is we make everything fake with TVs and cameras and stuff. It ain't fake with him. It's real. It's real. And then we go up to be with him in the clouds, and we'll be with him forever, changed. And we're waiting to come back on our horse. That's life. That's eternity. That's life. Anything else is a false premise, and you're looking at the wrong thing. You can do anything you want. I was in the Navy. I did what people said. Well, you were in the Navy. Yeah, I did everything with the thought in my mind that the rapture could happen at any minute. And I was still going to, I like that old preacher said, if I knew the Lord was coming back tomorrow, I'd still plant my potatoes today. Because if he don't come back tomorrow, you still got to eat. And if you want to starve and lose weight, fine, go for it. I don't personally like to do it. I'm going to plant the garden. Or I'm going to go to Kroger's and stock up the refrigerator anyways. But when you sit there and look at that thing, you got to continue on like you're doing, and like there is going to be a tomorrow, but that the Lord could come back at any moment, and you should be ready for him coming back any moment. We used to have rapture drills in Norfolk, Virginia at our church, and I'll be done right here. But Brother Burris would always say, stand up and hold your hands up in the sky, and we'd stand up and hold our hands in the sky. Everybody said, what are you doing? Well, it's a rapture drill. Chances are you'll not be ready for that when it happens like that. It was just a thought in our minds that he put in that, hey, you need to get ready. Arise, walk through the land. He tells Abraham, he says, arise, walk through the land, the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And that's one of the first things you ought to do. If you ever got serious decisions that you got to make in life, make those things with the Lord involved in it. And what you'll find out is Abraham was, that was 1913 B.C. This is 20 A.D. That's almost 4,000 years ago that Abraham did that, and we're here today because of that. That man, that's how important an altar is. That's how important a relationship with Jesus Christ is in your life. Abraham did that thing. Lot has no part in anything that we're ever doing, yet that whole line comes down through Abraham, and the blood of Jesus Christ comes through that. And all the way down through there, and here I am in 1980, I get saved on a back porch, all because a man sitting back there 4,000 years ago did the right thing. Father, thank you for your blessings this morning. Bless the morning service, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.